Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
On a good team, every member does his or her own part, and they do it well. That's what makes a great team. Everyone's doing their part, and they're doing their part well. They're not looking at everyone else's part. Well, they're not doing all of that. They're doing their part, and they're doing it well. It's those who begin to say, well, how come I'm not being lifted? How come eyes aren't on me? How come? It's that person who begins to start divisions and divisiveness and negativity, and it's all pride.
Working together is an essential part of teamwork, but another important aspect is that each member does their own role well. In today's teaching, Pastor Troy encourages you to do the role that God has given you and to do it the best that you can. He cautions you not to be distracted by or jealous of the callings that others have. You'll be reminded that God has specifically asked you to do certain things. He wants you to work together in unity and humility so that He gets the glory and His kingdom grows. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 3 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
In a seminary back east, a professor of homiletics said that he gives his students a certain test each year. It's a scientifically designed word association test. He says one thing, and they have to say or write down the first thing that comes to mind. It was designed to see what kind of thoughts these seminarians were thinking. He discovered that there seems to be a lot of bitterness and resentment in those who are pursuing ministry. For instance, he would say, truck driver. They would say, lazy. The test listed several different groups of people, and he was shocked at the responses that people had. And he said, very often those who seek the ministry are negative and or highly competitive. Negative meaning critical. I want to sit in a position of being able to be critical. They're not good enough. They're not this. They're not that. And they want to be negative and critical. And they're very competitive, so position and roles matter. We don't see that in the heart of John the Baptist. We don't see that kind of a response. Now, there are times, let me just say before we move on from this idea of arguing, there are times when we must disagree and we must stand, and that's when false teaching conflicts with truth, the fundamentals of the Christian faith, because truth matters. And so matters of truth are where we should stand. Not on my thoughts, not on my ways, not on the book I read versus the book you read about certain things. Like how marriages should be, or, you know, not those, but on truth, biblical truth. Jude chapter 3, or verse 3, there are no chapters in Jude, so Jude 3 says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. So, one form of pride is in arguing, needing to argue. Another form is competing with others. Trying to compete with others. John's disciples are concerned that Jesus' ministry is getting all of the people. It's an exaggeration. The idea is that they would have come to us, but now they're going to him. He's getting them all. It's a form of pride called jealousy or even coveting. It happens when we see ourselves as competing with rather than complementing the ministry of others or what others have. This is in the context of John's disciples and the ministry that they're part of. And here's the subtle shift that causes us to move this way? Because I believe everyone starts out with a desire to just serve the Lord, just want to serve the Lord. But here's the shift. The shift is this. In the mind, this is what happens. We go from serving the Lord to it's us versus them. Me versus him. Us versus them. We begin to see an us versus them situation that consumes us rather than an it's all about him mindset, which is God's given them a role, God's given us a role, we're going to do ours. Paul got on to the Corinthians for this because they started dividing and lifting up certain teachers above others. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. Some would be even more spiritual. I'm of Christ. And he said, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? That's Colossians 1:13, or 1 Corinthians, 1:13. So John, he doesn't lose perspective. He knows he's not in competition. So now we're going to move from the honest struggle, which is an honest struggle, to the humble servant. Verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. So the humble servant. We see here that John the Baptist is able to avoid the contentions and the competitions because he has a proper understanding of four things that we'll look at, which will help us to avoid them as well. And the first one deals with his theology. He understands that God is sovereign, that God is in control. Look at verse 27. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. God does it. John understood this more than anyone, I think, for John himself received a unique calling at a unique time before he was ever born. So he understands this didn't come from me. So what I have came from the Lord. I know the Lord has done this. And so it's God who gives, God who takes away. Do you believe that, guys? Because if we do, we should be able to find rest in that. We don't have to pursue. We don't have to fight and try to get the attention on us or get the ministry or get the thing or get the gold or get the girl. We don't have to do any of that because God, if we just are faithful to him, brings us what he wants to give us because he's sovereign and he gives us what we need to serve him, and that should be enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this, for who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? That includes your experiences, the things you have. Maybe you're bigger than others so you can play sports well. Or maybe you have a mind that thinks logically, that thinks in order, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you can flow and you can clearly think through things. And man, like, wow, I used to know a guy who was a history genius. You could mention anything, cigarette lighter, whatever it is. And he could tell you the history, who invented it or who first discovered it or what scientist. I mean, on the spot. It was amazing. And any category, sports, science, history, it didn't matter. I was so amazed at this guy. It's a gift. To lock that stuff in there, man, that's a gift. But does he go, well, yeah, I'm just better than everyone else? No, he's fearfully and wonderfully made. It's God who gives us the ability to do what we can do. So all glory goes to the Lord. That means when God blesses you or God uses you to be a blessing, you cannot brag. And when God uses someone else or blesses them, We shouldn't become bitter. We should rejoice. Because isn't it our prayer that God would build his kingdom? Isn't that our honest prayer that God would build his kingdom? Or do we really mean, build your kingdom through me? Not build your kingdom. Oh, awesome, Lord, that you're using that person. Oh, awesome that you're using their gifts. See, this is pride and it's insecurity. And that leads us to our second thing that we need to understand, and that is calling is secure. The calling of God is secure. It's not a competition. Verse 28, you yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. This is a man who understands what God has given him to do, and he's very secure in that. God said to do this, and so I'm going to do this. Well, they got more. God said to do this, and I'm going to do this. But we can increase. God said to do this, I'm going to do this. That's all I know. Don't drag me into other things. And don't make me feel like less because I'm not doing what everyone else is doing. I'm going to do and be faithful to what God has given. One of the keys to following and serving the Lord well is to be okay with who you are and what God has given you. See, God knows you, and God is the one who gives you opportunities to serve him. Listen to this. He knows you, and he gives you opportunities anyway. We should be thankful, and you might not feel like you can do what God wants you to do. Well, listen, you may not be faster than a speeding bullet. You may not be able to leap buildings in a single bound. You may not be the best that there could be. You know, the world exalts the best, right? Don't they? They look to the best. They exalt the best. They have posters of the best. They applaud the overachiever. But God seems to love and use the people who know their limits and who are humble enough to depend on him.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. Guess what? The best are often too busy chasing other things, doing other things. They're so busy with other things. They're the best. And they have little time for the Lord, which is why he loves to use you. Those who are willing, he can do great things through those who will just let him. Those who aren't the best out there, I'm the best, man, I'm the best. Look at the money I'm making. Look, I've got life. Those who say, yeah, my life belongs to the Lord. I don't have much, and what I do have, I count it all rubbish for the sake of following Christ. I just want to encourage you, take the opportunities that God gives you. God can take them, God can give them, but take the opportunities God gives you to serve him, because that leads to our third thing that we should understand if we want to do this well, and that is there's joy in serving. There is joy in serving the Lord when you're you. Not when you're after all of these things, not when we go into competitive mode, not when we go into argument mode, but when we're just us walking, running in the lane he's given us. Oh, there's such joy and satisfaction. Verse 29, he says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. John's saying, look, my role is like that of the best man at a wedding. Now, does the best man at a wedding get disgruntled and angry and bitter and upset because he's not got the bride? Does he get mad at the groom? No. He rejoices because the bridegroom has said, "Will you be my best man?" Absolutely. You mean I can be used? I can participate? He says, that's what makes my joy full, is that I can be used, that I've heard the bridegroom's voice, not that I'm the center. And so his joy is full. Enjoy serving the Lord when you serve him. And if you're not serving the Lord in some capacity, ask him how you might serve him. It's a privilege and a blessing to know that God himself would give you anything to do. Often, when we come in humbly, we don't think we can do anything. Then we realize God thinks we can do a lot more than we thought we could. That's the way I feel all the time. But here's the thing, you're on his team, and he's a winner. So you want to listen to Coach. It's better to serve the Lord than gain anything out in the world. Psalm 84:10 says this, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000, the idea is elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." On a good team, every member does his or her own part, and they do it well. That's what makes a great team. Everyone's doing their part, and they're doing their part well. They're not looking at everyone else's part. Well, they're not doing all of that. They're doing their part, and they're doing it well. It's those who begin to say, "Well, how come I'm not being lifted? How come eyes aren't on me? How come?" It's that person who begins to start divisions and divisiveness and negativity, and it's all pride. That sort of leads us to the final thing that we need to understand if we're going to do all of this well, and that is pride is subtle. It's subtle. Verse 30 says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Human nature is I increase. The more confident I get, the more comfortable I get, the more familiar I get, the more I increase. The more I have opinions, the more I have, and it's the more me. But Scripture teaches us that the opposite needs to be true. The more we learn, the more we realize we must decrease so that the Lord increases. See, John understands it's not about the wedding party. It's about the wedding couple or the bridegroom at this time, Jesus. John understood his role. Here's something you need to learn. We need to learn. But I want to say this to you personally. You need to learn, and I'm among you. This is something we need to learn to pursue. More of him, less of me. More of him, less of me. In fact, can you guys say that with me? More of him, less of me. We need to be able to grasp that truth. In your marriage, instead of getting ruffled, instead of fighting for your side or your position or your whatever, more of him, less of me. In your job, more of him, let him be the center. How can he be shown in this? Less of me. In ministry, more of him, less of me. This is what we need. The cure for self-focused living is Christ-centered living. You know, it's hard for me to live selfless living when I have to let you be the one at the center. That's hard. Why you? You're a sinner just like me. But it's much easier when Christ becomes the center. When Christ says, "Hey, this person has a need," then yes, you're at the center for that time, but he's really the center because he's directing the activity. It's not me against you. It's him. John understood his role. He understood it was about him. He said, "My role is to point to him. Everybody's going to him. Hey, my job is done. Well done. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's the point of all that we do, in fact." Did you know that? All that we do. You name a situation. You name it. Any situation. And I guarantee you we can find how he can increase while we decrease. While it glorifies the Lord. You pay your bills on time. Why? Because the creditors... No, because you're honoring the Lord. Because when they find out you're a Christian or your business has a little Christian symbol on it, and the payment is on time all the time, and they never have a problem with you, that's a good name. That honors the Lord. Keep your promises. Keep your word. In fact, not promises. You know what's sad? What's sad is that we have to even say, I promise. Because adding the tag, I promise, means my word. It's just my word. Yeah, it's a coin toss. But when I add, I promise, I mean it. The Bible says, you have been deceived. Because it's not adding, I promise, that should cause you to keep your word. When you say it, your word should be your word. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And as a Christian, we need to develop the habit of saying less, and I'm very guilty of this. I need to say a lot less because I promise a lot of things. I want to, but I can't do them all. I'm very bad at over-promising or over-committing myself. And it's bad. We've got to learn to say what we mean what we say, do what we say we're going to do. Do we do it just so we have a good reputation? Well, yeah, we want to do that, but we do it because we're Christians and our word should be our word. We're honoring to the Lord. Well, that guy didn't. You are representing the Lord. And there is no higher calling. Keep your promises, and we do it to honor Him. There is no situation. Well, I feel bad and I feel down and I just want to, and that's why I always complain. And well, is there no God? Is God not your source? Do you not really trust in Him? There's an opportunity to glorify Him when others are looking at you. I've known individuals who've glorified the Lord so greatly and so brilliantly with such brightness because you knew their situation that they were living in, their physical condition was horrible. And yet you'd never know it because they would serve you before they had let you serve them. They would talk about what's going on in your life before they would complain about what's going on in theirs. And you go, wow, what is in that person that makes them tick? What is it? I could see that, man, their life is a struggle with the health conditions. But they honor the Lord. You can encourage others rather than discourage to honor the Lord. And you can serve and you can give, not to get attention, but because you're honoring the Lord. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says this, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Everything. So our mindset should be, how do I bring glory to the Lord in this? What do I do? What should my response be in order to bring glory to Him? Now, I must decrease. Boy, will I be decreasing here. But He must increase. How do I do that? Well, that's why we're told to pick up our own cross and deny ourselves and follow after Him if we're going to be His disciples. See, to grow up, we must grow down. He must increase. I must decrease. John the Baptist, that's why I believe one of the things Jesus said, there was not a man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. This was a humble man. He knew his position. He knew his role. He didn't get drawn into the arguments. He would even give his life. Even when he feared and wasn't certain about certain things. John the Baptist was a great man. But we have the Holy Spirit of God. We can do great things. Let's seek the Lord about what those great things might be.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the Gospel of John and express additional examples of how Jesus proved he was unlike any other man that has ever lived. Join us then, right here, on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.